Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Rita, like Katrina, is playing havoc on the Gulf Coast. Both have had and will continue to have an impact on agriculture in the Midwest. We'll explore the price of corn, soybeans, and wheat today, along with the impact on natural gas and anhydrous ammonia as the winds of Rita blow north into the United States.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Mark Russo, meteorologist at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today are Brian Chastain of MarketWise out of Leroy, Illinois, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Steve Schilling of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question, and it's not related to Katrina. Friday afternoon, USDA released a cattle on feed report. It showed on feed as of August the 1st at 100%, or roughly 10.1 million head. Placements were 95% of last year, and the market at 106%. Steve, what do you think that means for the market open on a Monday morning?
Well, the early calls coming out after the report this afternoon, kind of a neutral report, should be a little bit friendly, maybe call it neutral to bullish, should be with the placement in August, should be a little friendly to the feeder cattle. They think feeder cattle will probably be higher Monday.
Pete, lots of numbers out this week. REFCO in with a corn number of 10.7 billion bushels. Informa Sparks putting out an early estimate of next year's acreage. It has corn down 1.2 million acres, beans up 2 mil, and I suppose those last set of figures serve to remind us only that the 2006 crop can be marketed if the opportunities arise. Anything in the offing for next year at this point that you find of interest?
Well, with the high cost of energy and then the fertilizer, that's what they're looking at, less corn and more beans. So it might be an opportunity to market something for next year if we see the prices to where we can pencil it in. So we are looking at, as people said today, less corn and more beans. And that brings up what should we do and can we do anything for next year right now, let alone for this year.
Brian, a quick question for you. LDP Friday in Champaign County up around 43 cents, I think. Should the trigger be pulled over the weekend on harvested acres if that hasn't been done yet? And what strategy might you deploy to protect that position? Cash sales, should those be done along with it? You store it and do what?
On bushels that have already been sold, yes, I like the idea of taking the LDP. Historically, the LDPs have been bigger earlier. Some concern about the differential adjustments being made to the differentials, and that will take some of the advantage we have away from us. With a 42-cent LDP, cash prices in the $1.75 area, that puts you about somewhere close to 220, 219 cash versus a loan of about 212 or so. So we do have a little bit of an advantage here because of a differential skew. But I'm really reluctant to take the LDP and then set open. We've seen that in the past where what looks attractive at one point in time can turn into a train wreck. So I would look to probably go ahead and sell some carry.
I would be looking at selling carry and taking the LDP. If you store and take the LDP, you need to protect that grain that you're sitting on for a bigger crop come the October estimate and see corn go down another 15. So you could look at doing some puts or something to protect that through the next report.
Our recommendations in our office here in Champaign has been take these LDPs as they come. As soon as you get corn harvested, go ahead and take your LDP. You can do several different things. If you want to go out and sell the carry, you can do that. We don't want to sell any nearby corn. The bases are just too wide, and with all the carry, it wouldn't be a prudent thing to do. you can almost pay for any commercial storage that if you have to go find some, there's enough carry in the market that you should be able to pay for that. So I guess if you want to, our major recommendation is just to keep as current as you possibly can on these LDPs. You just never know what's going to happen to them in the future.
Steve, you're an old elevator hand. Tell me about the corn basis at this time.
As wide as I can ever remember, but of course that's a lot of different things going into the play right now. Obviously, Katrina was the start of it and disrupting the Gulf Coast. We've also got all this old corn, massive amounts. We just had a guy in the office that came back from Minnesota. They've got corn on the ground in Minnesota right now and haven't started harvest, if that tells you anything. Trains can be bought out of Iowa. We're still looking at about 181 million bushel in the 9-month loan. About 65 million of that will come due here in the end of September. So obviously there's just a tremendous amount of corn available at this time of year, and probably the greatest amount I've seen in at least in my lifetime that is so readily available, and it's obviously a buyer's market.
The numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade for the corn finished like this for the week. December had a high this week of $2.10 a bushel, the low at 205. Narrow trading range ended a penny higher for that December contract at 207 1/4. July futures, 233 1/4, were up a penny and a quarter from last Friday's settlement price. Pete, tell me a little bit more about this marketplace in the near term. There's an awful lot of grain that is around and available. How much pressure will that put on the basis? And have we seen the lows in two different places? Tell me about the lows in the futures market, and then tell me about the lows in the cash market.
I don't think we've seen the lows in either one yet because of the bigger crop coming in out of the field than expected pretty much everywhere. I mean, there's some bad yields here and there, but in general, if yields are really good. So I think the lows are yet to come. I think this next October report could be bigger. So if I do sell cash now, I'd be looking to replace it down the road. If I sell cash now, I can buy calls down the road for cheaper than storage clear out to July. But the lows are still yet to come.
Why do you think that? I mean, last year, let me play devil's advocate just a bit. Last year, we had the same supply on hand, a carryout that was in that neighborhood. Why would you think we would continue on down when we really have a crop that's, you know, a billion bushels smaller than the last time around?
Well, the carryout, first of all, is bigger, and then the amount left out there is bigger than normal because people thought, oh, we're going to get rid of this down the road, and now we've got the Gulf clogged up. And a result, that makes the basis wider. That puts more pressure on the downside, and then we get this crop coming in at as good or better than last year in a lot of areas, and in a lot of areas a lot better than expected where we thought we were going to have a poor crop, parts of Illinois example.
Anybody disagree with the idea that futures prices will drop down? How far are you thinking of a drop? Are you going to the $1.90 area, or are you going $1.95, $2?
September went off at $1.95. That'd be a logical place. Last year we had a $1.91, so I'd say somewhere in that area. On beans, flip a coin and ask. I don't know there. I think beans could be down any given week another 50 cents.
Anybody lower than $1.90 on the corn?
We haven't been below $1.90 since 2001 on corn, so 95 would be the logical place to stop where September went off the board. That's only a dime, so maybe 10, 15 cent lower is your risk in the corn at this particular time, and we may not see that. It just depends if the funds want to come in and jump on this. China's still the wild card in all this. It's really hard to get a handle on what they've got or what they're doing, but their corn has been rallying the last 30 days in China. For what reason? Take your pick.
All right. I'd like to stay with China, but we're going to switch to soybeans on the China factor just a bit. China's bought more beans from Argentina and South America this year than they have from the United States, and so they're changing the way they do business just a bit. This note out of the Buenos Aires Cereals Exchange this week, it's predicting 6.5 million fewer acres for corn. That's a 15% drop in Argentina, and they have one of the largest corn crops in the world, I think third maybe behind the U.S. and then China. Surely those acres will be cropped. It doesn't say what they'll go to. Tell me your reaction to the news for corn market, and what's the possibility that those acres will be put into beans?
probably pretty likely they'll go to beans with increased fuel cost, increased input cost. One thing I think we need to see long-term in the U.S. is a dramatic shift in our 50-50 rotation or somewhat close to 50-50 rotation. The U.S. is going to need to become a much bigger player in the world corn market, and we'll see those bean acres probably shift elsewhere. One comment I'd like to go back to with respect to price, I don't disagree with these fellows in terms of expectations of what might happen, but one thing that is starting to be of a concern to me is I'm hearing more and more people call in, and the consensus seems to be that we are destined to go lower. And when everybody's on one side of the boat, I tend to be a little nervous, and the contrarian in me wants to make me keep my eyes open. So a little concerned with everybody thinking that we're destined to go lower. Many times that doesn't happen when everybody believes it will.
Are they saying that about the futures market or the cash market?
More so the futures market. I differ with Pete a little bit in terms of basis expectations that they'll get a lot weaker. Looking back at the Andersons out here west of Champaign the last 8 years, typically that last week or two of September, first week of October, we see basis start to turn around and come back quite substantially. There was 1 year in the last eight where we were actually worse at lower levels than we are right now. And within 6 weeks, we'd improve that basis level by 20 cents. And ironically, it happened it was in 99, but it was this same week in 99 that we turned the corner and started our basis improvement.
I might have misunderstood, but on the basis, I think as wide as it is now, the basis is going to get better once we get the river unclogged. So, and that's one of the reasons the LDPs are so good now. So, yeah, I think the basis is not going to get much wider.
One other note on the LDPs, and next week I've heard, at least when some of the analysts have been talking with Dave, but not with me this week because I don't think I've really asked them about LDP next week. The idea that it might start to narrow up and narrow fairly sharply next week, and I suppose that means, you know, a dime back to 33, 36, 35 cents. Do you think that will be the case, or is it that USDA will hold it open in order to allow the folks in southeastern Iowa, which has suffered some, to pick some of their crop and get that LDP'd?
I don't know. I don't think you can get into them. They're going to hold it due to some state or some section, but, you know, that's a possibility. I just think that with the wide basis at the river and all the problem on shipping it, that's what's created most of it. And when that gets unclogged, we'll see it quickly go back to a less narrower basis and a less LDP.
So we'll need to know from Mr. Russo in just a few minutes just exactly how much damage Rita might be doing in the Gulf, and especially along the Mississippi River. Will this create some problem, do you think, going to the southeast, or not to the southeast, but to the southwest for the rail car shippers?
I think it will. It's going to get up into Texas, and a lot of stuff, especially the wheat, goes to Texas. You know, I think it's, 70% of our wheat from here goes to Texas. Very little of it goes to New Orleans. But just closing the port today, how long will it be before they open it back up again? Those type of things will help keep the basis high, plus this storm in Texas will help make the basis wider of stuff going towards Texas.
Taking a look at the Chicago Board of Trade numbers for beans. Oh, actually, you have something that you wanted to follow up with, Steve, on the rail car handlers and dropping into the southwest.
Well, I think these hurricanes down in the south, it's just incredible the amount of damage they're doing. It was reported yesterday that the BNs got 24 wheat shuttles parked that's aimed at Houston as of yesterday. When it opens back up, there's going to be another delay. The reason they got them parked, they don't want to take them down there and risk the hurricane that's coming in. So this basis, this trade, it's something that I'm not sure any of us have seen in our lifetimes, and it's really unpredictable. And I guess a big question, is there another one coming behind these two? It's not over. Hurricane season doesn't end till about the middle of November, and we're not even to October yet. So
One thing I'd caution people about, though, to get too bullish or too friendly on the potential for crop damage in the southeast is the amount of the crop that's produced down there is very small. I mean, we're looking at a total of about 180 million bushels in Arkansas, Mississippi, and Louisiana, and those states are well into harvest. Arkansas is 25% harvested. Mississippi and Louisiana are both well over 50% harvested. So the impact in terms of total bushels is minimal.
You're talking for soybeans.
Right, correct.
We picked up wheat there for just a bit, so I'm going to stay with that. I'll give both the wheat and the soybean numbers here. December contract for the wheat at the board, 335 and a half, the high, the low at 318 and a quarter. D-sweet, 333 and a half. Settlement price, they were up 9 and a quarter this week. July futures were up 10 and a quarter at 360 and three quarters. The soy complex, November beans, 586 on the high, the low at 568 and a quarter. Beans settled that November contract at $5.74 a bushel. They were up 2 and three quarters. July's at 599 and a quarter. We're up 3 cents. Kind of interesting that the wheat was managed to finish the week with a rally. That despite the fact that their primary export market will be closed in the next day and a half.
Yeah, it's amazing. The thing of it is, we've been in a in a rut, 316 to 330, 316 to 332 in beans. Corn's been 205 to 210. What have beans been? But we've just been in this rut, and we just can't get out of it. But the wheat did get out of it this week for the first time in ages. And really, with the port being going to close down for where they ship it, I don't really see any reason for it.
Two other things, and these are both on beans. Here's one that makes you think just a bit. Soy oil took the lead at the Chicago Board of Trade for a while this week. This is a bit unusual, and the rally cry was biodiesel in the face of Katrina and Rita and higher crude oil prices. Is there really a will to push biodiesel in this country, or was it all pure speculation?
I think largely speculation. The market is so many times driven by fear and uncertainty. These high fuel prices bother me as much as the next guy going to the gas station paying $3 a gallon. But, when you stop and fill up a car and you look at the number of vehicles going up and down the road, it's just amazing that you can even buy the stuff at all. And to me, it's encouraging because it's going to promote development of alternative fuels. And long term, that's positive for agriculture in terms of biodiesel or in terms of ethanol.
And finally, one more question before we turn our attention to the weather. Two bean predictions from Brazil this week. The processors say 60 million metric tons will be the production next year. The Soy Producers Association says no, no, no. The acres won't be planted, and they expect 52 million metric tons. Have you taken a look at the South American crop for Brazil yet?
I think they're facing the same thing we're going to have to face this spring. The energy cost, money to get availability of money to get your crop planted. Is it going to be there? There's all kinds of situations going on in South America, much like we're going to see shifts in acreage here probably this spring. Again, we're a long way from Brazil, but they're faced with the same kind of increasing costs that we are also.
And just to put those two in context, the 60 million metric tons is what USDA is pegging the Brazilian bean crop at. 52 million metric tons would be roughly what they harvested last spring here, I suppose. It'd be spring. It would have been fall for them in South America. In a couple minutes, we'll talk with Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Summer weather is refusing to loosen its grip here in Illinois this year. Temperatures into the mid-90s occurred on Monday, and again on Thursday, as strong southwesterly winds developed ahead of approaching cold fronts. Temperatures for the month of September so far are running well ahead of normal, ranging from 3 degrees above normal in the south to 6 degrees above in the north. This week alone, temperatures range from 6 to 9 degrees above normal. At this point in September, we should be enjoying highs in the 70s and lows in the 50s. The southern two-thirds of Illinois received significant rainfall early in the week as thunderstorms developed ahead of a weak cold front. Some of these storms also became severe, producing large hail and damaging winds. The rain avoided much of the northern third of Illinois early in the week, but another cold front late in the week did finally bring some rainfall there. It looks like the last week of September will be a very active one, with cold fronts pushing through Illinois every 2 to 3 days. Each of those should bring a good chance for rain to the state. However, it looks like any moisture from Hurricane Rita will stay well south of the region. The frequent frontal passages will put us on a temperature roller coaster next week, with significant warming ahead of the fronts and significant cooling behind. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then on Agriculture.
I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today are Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Steve Schillingham, Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, and Brian Chastain of MarketWise, and he is in Farmer City, Illinois. I gave his, well, a different address for him a little bit earlier. We're joined now by our guest, Mark Russo, who is with Chesapeake Energy. Normally joins us every Monday during the closing market report. Today we're going to take a look at more than a little bit about agriculture with Mark. Mark, good afternoon to you. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, good afternoon. My pleasure.
First, tell me what Chesapeake Energy is and does.
Well, Chesapeake Energy Corporation is a natural gas exploration and production company. We are based out of Oklahoma City. However, the weather department is based out of Chicago. And what we do is focus our drilling for natural gas down across the Southern Plains region. So we are all onshore and do really the bulk of our drilling in places like Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico, and up into Kansas.
Give us an update on Rita, please.
Well, Rita certainly has been the storm of note here in a season of many, many storms, and certainly is looking like Rita will make landfall as either a strong Category 3, possibly weak Category 4 storm here early on Saturday morning and right around the Texas-Louisiana border. And so that is the situation here with landfall. And once moving inland, though, it looks like Rita is going to lose her steering currents and, as a result, slow down across eastern Texas into western Louisiana and produce tremendous amounts of rain across those areas, with some areas getting as much as 15, 20, or even 25 inches, which is just phenomenal and is going to result in, unfortunately, some major, major flooding.
Because hurricanes are capable of switching directions from time to time, it's important to note that it is about 10 minutes until 5 o'clock Central Time on Friday evening when we're recording this particular report. Tell us about the energy side of your business and natural gas, and in particular what that might mean for nitrogen supplies in the United States.
Well, certainly we're at a situation where at the present time, as we go into the upcoming winter heating season, there at least is some concern from a supply standpoint, just especially since we're not injecting as much as we could into a storage here, or at least that's been the pattern here over this past summer. And a lot of that has been due to the very hot summer experience, not only here in Illinois, but across really the entire country. And now a bulk of cooling demand is generated by natural gas, especially in places like Texas and on over to Louisiana. So the hot summer experience that's resulted in these lower injection numbers, and as a result here, our supplies are, well, they're pretty much at kind of normal ranges here, but the concern is if we go into the winter and we have a very, very cold winter, then by the end of the winter, let's say March, early April, then we're talking with very, very low supply. So as a result here, certainly at least going into the winter season, it looks like we're going to have some natural gas price fluctuations. Even, you know, obviously we've seen that already due to Katrina as well as Rita, and even back, for that matter, earlier in the hurricane season with Dennis and Cindy, because of the storms, because of their impact on natural gas there in the northern Gulf. It's a situation here where we'll likely see some significant price spikes from the kind of levels that we're seeing right now, which are historically high. So obviously from a fertilizer situation here, the costs, the high costs that we're seeing right now, and based on the natural gas supply demand and weather impacts here coming up, certainly that'll keep things very, very high, really, it looks like through the entire winter season.
Is there any time that during, you know, from now through the winter when the company's using your material to make anhydrous, et cetera, where they want it more than other times? When's their normal buying from you for their anhydrous and fertilizer production?
It's a tough question to answer here, and honestly, I really don't know the specific time frame, but I would guess here that usually during more of the summer months, when at least historically, that's when your prices tend to be on the low side. That's been obviously a different trend at least the past 4 to 5 months, but you know, typically with natural gas prices kind of bottoming out during the summer season, that would be kind of the time frame to at least lock in those natural gas prices here for fertilizer processing.
Mark, another question that's on everybody's mind in the agricultural community, especially our grassroots producers out here, what should they be doing about anhydrous? Should they be trying to price as much as they can now, get it on this fall if possible? Do you see it getting cheaper this spring? Just what should the farmers be looking at, and what do you recommend that they do?
Well, if you see any kind of good deals that you feel would be right to lock in at this time, then I would do it at the present moment here. Considering here, at least from a cash market standpoint, natural gas is sitting at about $13 for each BTU, which is historically high here, and at least with the since we're at these levels right now and going into the winter season, and with the expectations here of some price spikes, certainly over the next couple of months, we would expect at least even higher natural gas prices. Then as we go on through the spring season, with winter being over and summer on the horizon here, most likely here we would see prices begin to decline, but depending on how much they decline will depend on just how cold we are across the U.S. this winter. So, many questions here, and a lot of that is, at least on our part, the meteorologist part, that is the challenge here over the next 3 to 6 months, especially what temperatures are during the upcoming winter season.
Hi, Mark. I had a client call in today. He just booked a load of fuel oil for this fall, and he expressed some interest in strategies or ways in which he, as an average farmer out here, can protect himself with hedging or futures or some type of strategy. Are you aware of any vehicles that they can use other than maybe forming a buying pool to help them protect their input cost?
I am not aware of any at this time, and just certainly any kind of means here to hedge your fuel costs. Obviously, with our energy costs here as high as they are and expected to remain high for quite some time, and with a lot of variability here, certainly any kind of hedging we think would be very, very useful.
Mark, thanks for being with us today.
Okay, my pleasure.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. He's out of Chicago, Illinois. You can hear him every Monday on the Closing Market Report right here on WILL. A quick final word from our panelists today, Brian Chastain of MarketWise.
I would just encourage individuals to try and store as much grain as possible with the basis as it is. Look at going out to the July contract or the March contract to lock up some of that carry, and then move the stuff and reevaluate how they're doing their marketing after the last couple of years of opportunities that we've had.
Steve Schilling.
Keep your eyes on the December 06 corn price, the November 06 bean price for opportunities to sell next year's crop. Keep taking your LDPs on a daily basis and sell into the carry.
And Pete Manhart.
If you've sold already, be ready this fall to replace. We do expect bounces after this fall, and they're cheaper than storage right now.
I'm Todd Gleason. That's this week's edition of Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.